Well, that was great, and we are in a fight. But as I read from my dear pastor friend in Papua New Guinea, we are on the winning side. On Monday, I told you about the Congo, and I've told you about Senegal and the Papua New Guinea yesterday, but I want to go back just a moment to the Congo, and there's a reason for that. But I told you about being able to go back. 21 years I had not been there, and was able to go back and meet people that we'd won to Christ and baptized. I like the way we baptized there. We baptized three people at a time. You said, Brother God, what do you... Well, see, I went out into the pond with two African pastors, and we'd get into the water kind of shallow, wasn't too deep, and the deacons would bring us three short people. Dr. Comfort, you would have been first. He deserved that. He picks on me all the time. Anyway, then we would step a little deeper water, and deacons would bring us three a little taller. And then we'd go back another step, and we'd baptize 35, 40, 50 people at a time there. And what a blessing, privilege that is. But when I went back, there's something I saw that I didn't tell you Monday, but I want you to hear. Down at the foot of the mountain, the village is up on top of the mountain, this jungle, and it's 2 kilometers, mile and two-tenths, down the mountain to a pond where we baptized and bathed and fished and washed clothes. But right up past that pond, when we lived there, there were 4 graves. The missionary who started that work is buried there. He died in 1956, and he's buried there. And 3 of their little children died, and they're buried there. But when I went back 3 years ago, right up just beside those 4 graves, now there are 9 more graves of national pastors who serve the Lord faithfully, and now they're in glory. Now, you think that won't stir your heart, boy. It's wonderful. BIMI started out of that work. It was called the Congo Gospel Mission. It was an independent Baptist agency, and they worked there in the Congo. That was the only place they worked, out in that particular area in the Congo. And the missionary died, the original missionary, in 1956. In 1960, there was a big rebellion there. The Simba soldiers took over. Missionary Irene Farrell with Baptist Mid-Mission, she was shot through the neck with an arrow and died 30 miles from where we lived. Well, those missionaries had to flee in 1960, and they came back to America, and they're still missionaries, but they cannot return to the Congo. Where are they going to go now? Dr. Lee Robertson, the Highland Park Baptist Church, they were having a Bible conference there, and those missionaries were there, and Dr. Robertson called together a group of independent Baptist pastors, and they were discussing what to do to help these missionaries go back to the mission field. And Dr. Robertson said this: it's time for us to embrace the world. And that was 57 plus years ago, and that's how we got started at BIMI. And then Linda and I had the privilege of going back to that same village where all that started and found thousands of Christians still there, and they're still there, even though I had an email after I preached on Monday from one of my friends there, the pastor's brother, the pastor I work with, and said, please pray for the Congo. It's called the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, it's not democratic. It's not a republic. It is the Congo. He said, please pray for us. The blood of innocence is flowing. And that's all he said. He said, would you please pray urgently for our people here? Well, because we started 57 plus years ago, we have at BIMI, we have a lot of young new missionaries coming in every year, but we have a lot of old folk. I'll tell you how old they are. At BIMI, they call me young. Because we have Dr. Roy Ackerley, who's 94 and still preaches. Dr. Les Frazier, 85 years old. Dr. Thompson, 85. Dr. Sis, 84, and so on. And I'm telling you all that to tell you something that happened yesterday. I had an email yesterday, and one of our missionary wives, so many who've been with BMI for years and years, Mrs. Mel Brown, Miss Carol Brown, went to heaven. And every day I've tried to tell you a story about some missionary who went out to some place, or missionaries, and changed their world. That's what this is all about. We're going there to present Christ to them, and it changes our lives. Mel and Carol Brown, Brother Brown was saved in 1946 as an 11-year-old boy listening to evangelist John R. Rice preaching a revival meeting in Ohio. And in the early 70s, he and his wife came to Tennessee Temple University. I was there at the same time. I wasn't as old as he was. He came a little older in life. When he left there, he went to Pensacola, Florida, and he pastored Grace Baptist Church in Pensacola, started in 1975. And over the next 4 years, he grew that church from 50 to 300. And every year they had a great missions conference. In one of those years, they were praying, he and the church were praying, would you please call some young families to go to the mission field? And God did. He called their pastor. Mel and Carol Brown went to the Philippines. He was 45 years old before they arrived on the field. He started La Loma Baptist Church in the greater metropolitan Manila area, and that church thrived, and Gilbert Tokiero, one of his Timothy, became pastor of that church. And I'm here today to tell you that now there are over 90 churches that have come out of that church that Mel Brown started years ago. Mel and Carol had to leave because of health reasons a long time ago. He developed Bible Institute training material that they still use, not just in the Philippines. He did it in English and in Tagalog, but it's used in Bible Institutes over many places in the world. But that church, I was there for the 25th anniversary a good number of years ago, and that church, there's no place to comfort, no place to go out. It goes up. And they just keep adding another story to the building, and they have thousands in church. And if young men are called to preach from there, they help them. That church in the Philippines helps them for 2 years. They give them support for 2 years, excuse me, to go plant a church. Well, God is good and God is working. Romans chapter number 11. I'll get this cleared out in a moment. How many of you have ever clapped with only one hand that works? Try that sometime. You say, Brother God, what are you talking about? Well, I only have one vocal cord that works. My right one is dead. A viral infection somewhere in Africa got it. So I preach like this. It's like trying to clap with just one hand. It's just one vocal cord that works. So if I get any little... Anyway, Romans chapter 11 and verse number 33. You know, often the verse divisions and the chapter divisions help us, but not always. And sometimes, very often we preach, how many of you have preached on Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2? Most of you. First sermon I ever preached in a church was on these two verses, great verses. But you're not really going to understand the meaning of Romans 12, 1 and 2 unless you read Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable, excuse me, are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And then Paul goes into these words that we all have, I hope we have memorized. But you can memorize a verse without it having much effect on your life. But think about what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What mercies? We just read them. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The world today desperately needs to get right with God. We desperately need to stay right with God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a failure in God's service. I want people to be able to look at me and tell there's something different about me. I'm not better than they are, but I am different because He changed my life. And often, by the way, that shows up on your face. If Christ is in here, it shows up. How do we stay right with God? Well, as we've gone through the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1 showed us Jesus Christ and faith in Him. And I'm not ashamed of that gospel. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes. Romans chapter 2 through 8, the believer can be saved and sanctified and set free from a life from sin. Romans chapter 10, I preached on yesterday, the church, that is, we believers, is God's choice to carry out the gospel. God chose to use us. Now, what's a local church? It's not a building. You can have church without a building. Many places in the world we start a church. We may rent a storefront building, but we may meet under a tree, or we may meet in someone's home. It's not a building. It's people. God chose to use us, and that also is grace. But now we come to this part of the book, and chapter 12, Paul tells us about a dedication that needs to be made, and that dedication is in the form of a sacrifice. David Livingstone, we all know that name, he said this, "I never made a sacrifice. Of this we ought not to talk when we remember the great sacrifice which he made, who left his Father's throne on high to give himself for us." Now, I hate to differ with so great a man, but he's not entirely right about that. Now, I know what he meant, and you know what he meant. He meant that anything we do in the light of what he did is nothing. But can I remind all of us that sacrifice is a very biblical word? And you can't read the Bible at all, beginning from the first book through all the rest of it, without coming across that word sacrifice over and over and over again. Our sacrifices do not save us. They do not win His favor yet. Because we're saved from sin, because we're saved from self, God does not corral us. He doesn't rattle us like a horse and force us to obey. He wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Well, the only sacrifice these people had ever heard of had to die. But here he tells us about a living sacrifice. You see, we didn't earn his mercies either. But those mercies are the motivating power for what we do. Young people, why didn't you do what you do? Why didn't you come to Ambassador Baptist College? Why didn't you go out soul winning? Why do you sing in chapel? Why do you have a heart to serve the Lord? I hope it's because when you think about the mercies that He showed us, how could we do anything less? It's the natural expression of our heart's gratitude. When we think about what Christ did for us, besieged by the mercies of God, I capitulate to the winsome logic of Calvary. When I look at the cross and realize what He did, how could I do less than serve Him? And here's how He tells us to do that in these verses in chapter 12. We do that by presenting our bodies. Isn't it interesting how mankind today abuse their bodies? I mean, Dr. Comfort, have you ever seen such a day when you go out and people, you can't see their bodies anymore? They have ink all over. Do you know how some of these ladies are going to look 40 years from now? Scary thought, isn't it? People abuse their bodies. They neglect their bodies. They ignore their bodies. On the other hand, some people glorify their bodies. Big, you know, bodybuilders. Yeah, wait about another 40 years. But here's the truth. Listen to me. God wants your body. Some people think that the body's all that matters. Some people think that the body matters little. But however you look at it, God wants our bodies. Now, he wants all of it. He wants our soul. He wants our spirit as well. But the way we serve him, look like it, it shows up in our bodies and what we do with our bodies. You don't go soul winning with your spirit. The spirit's there, but it goes in your body. No one can hear the gospel presentation from your heart. They hear it from your mouth. God wants our bodies. Now, God knows that our body is not the prison house of the soul, as the Greeks said, but it is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul is beseeching here. He's begging them. And sacrifice, let me give you a verse. You probably know it well. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Listen to it. An odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Sacrifice pleases God. So to say we'd never sacrifice, I know what we mean by that. But Paul writes to these Roman Christians and he says, I beseech you. I call for you to do this. I desire for you to do this. I entreat you to do this. It's a strong word. Really, when you think about it, Paul is speaking for whom? You can answer that. That's not a rhetorical question. Paul is speaking for whom when he's writing to them? He's speaking for God. And if you get this, Paul is saying to them, it's as if God is falling to his knees and begging you, beseeching you to give yourself over to him. Oh, young people, old people, it's not, I command you to do it. Now, he had every right to do that. He is our Creator. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He has every right to command us to do it, but God does not want us to serve him because he commanded us to do it. God wants us to serve him because we wish to do it. He wants no unwilling works nor reluctant servants. I hope, young people, you're not serving God because of a sense of guilt, a sense of duty. Even though they're responsibility and duty, those are not bad words. But you get tired if you're serving the Lord for that reason alone. But if you're serving the Lord because you love him with all your heart, you get tired. Some of us get tired because we're old. Some of you get tired because you work long hours and you go to school. I was teaching in another college and some of the students worked all night and I was teaching and I told them, if you need to stand up, it's okay. And one young man, he had just gotten out of the Marine Corps. He was a tough guy, you know. And he was standing at the back. He could barely stay awake, and he's standing at the back, and I'm up teaching, and all of a sudden he just falls out right over on his face, I mean, right in the class. So you don't have to be old to get tired. But you can serve the Lord when you're tired. You know why? Because you can't stand not to serve him. I mean, think about what he did for you. Think about the testimony we heard already this morning. When the Lord changes our hearts, when he saves our souls, and we don't have to worry about going to hell, but way more than that, we can enjoy serving him right now because all of this chapter, these verses, this is the language of grace. Present your body. I beseech you, he says, by the mercies of God. Well, there it is again. What mercies? Justification, identification, spirit indwelling, no condemnation, help in infirmities. He's praying for us. How can we not serve him? But here's how we do it. present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's an interesting thought. That's a temple term for bringing something to God, a complete and a whole sacrifice. Partial sacrifice is unknown in the Scripture. Our bodies are to be presented like those animals in the Old Testament, not like them to be slain, yet like them so completely dedicated to be made God during our whole life that they are as good as slain. I have no right to make my own decisions. I have no right to desire my own way. Do you remember the day that you came to the Lord and you said, Lord, I'm so glad you saved me. And Lord, today I'm presenting my body a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but yet in very real ways slain. Because we're willing to say, because we love him, you tell me where you want me to go and I'll go. Mel Brown, I told you that story and I think I forgot my whole point of it. Mrs. Brown went to heaven yesterday. Pastor of church. I can name several men who were pastors of churches, having missions conference, praying, God, please send somebody to someplace in the world. And God said, okay, you go. You know what they did? They went. You know why? Because they're a living sacrifice. Devoted to God, everything we are, everything we have, constant, continuous sacrifice. Folks, don't give it to God and then try to take it back. Some of us Christians, we're kind of like the person that sold their car and we want to keep a key for it. We want to be able to decide, well, maybe I'll serve God in this area of my life, but not in all the areas of my life. When your life goes on the altar, it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to him for his glory. You've probably heard this before. One of the old Roman coins was imprinted with the figure of an ox standing between an altar and a plow. And the inscription says this, ready for either. Ready for service, ready for sacrifice, whatever God chooses. Alexander Duff, how many of you like to read missionary biographies? I love it. I mean, you read some of those old biographies about the missionaries who went out to the New Hebrides Islands, and they went to Africa, and folk, I've been there, and I've seen the memorials, and some of those missionaries, it's hard to read their stories. They buried their wife, some of them wives, Adnan Judson. They buried their children. Some of the missionary reps have contacts as we did in the Congo. Those early missionaries that went out in that place, when I was there again 3 years ago, I asked the Christians, how did Anton Anderson ever find this village? It's hard to ride in a vehicle up there now. In those days when these missionaries went out, Daryl Champlin and the Greens family and Elmer Dill and a lot of those families that went out into Congo before the days when you could go in a vehicle. How did they ever get to those places? You know what the African Christians said without blinking an eye when I said, how did they ever find this place? They said this, only God. And that's the way it is, only God. And they were willing to go. Alexander Duff said this, having set my hand to the plow, my resolution was taken, the Lord helping me never to look back anymore and never to make a half-hearted work of it. Having chosen missionary work, of course, in his case in India, I gave myself wholly to it in the destination of my own mind. I united or wedded myself to it in covenant. the ties of which should be severed only by death. Mission work, whether it be in the United States or anywhere in the world, is not the work of a week. It's not the work of a month. It's not the work of a year. Real mission work means, it doesn't mean we have to stay in the same city, the same place all the time, but it certainly means this: we give ourselves to it. God, would you let me go to New Guinea? I just came back. You know how tempted I was to stay there. Linda wouldn't have liked that. If I were a young man, I'd love to be right out in the heart of New Guinea starting a new church. If I were a young man, I'd love to go to Japan. I never dreamed I would go to Japan. I'm an African. When Dr. Sis asked me to go there, I told him, you've lost your mind. But every time I go to Japan, my heart breaks for the people there, and I'd love to stay in Japan. Serving the Lord wherever it is at is not a temporary thing. Can I say something? Would you not take offense if I don't think I'd be walking on anybody's toes here? But we talk so much now about short term. There is no such thing as short term serving God. And a lot of short term stuff, I'm all for taking young people out on trips and things like that to see. But if you have that in, young people, listen to me, you have in the back of your mind, I'm going to give it a little try. You just well stay home. This is not something to try. This is who we are if we belong to the Lord and understand what He's done for us. It's not temporary. It's not, I'll try. And, you know, people come into Christian colleges, well, go to Ambassador Baptist College. All they teach there is the Bible and evangelism and missions. What else do you want us to teach here? Well, but you'll need something to fall back on. Have you ever heard that? Yeah, you'll need something to fall back on. There's no falling back. We're slain. We're a sacrifice. We belong to Him. So we need to be saying, Lord, you just show me that place you have for me, and I will go there. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I know. You know, there was a time when every preacher had Fox's Book of Martyrs and Josephus sitting on his desk. And they read them. A lot of you think books are to put on your shelf to make people think that you're smart. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it'll shake you up. You know why they were willing to give their lives for Christ? Because they were sacrifices. You go out to that jungle and see those grays. I've taken young people there, and folk, every time I take them there and every time I go there, I know I've seen those grays dozens and dozens of times, but every time I see them, it has an impact in my heart. And it reminds me, I'm a living sacrifice. I belong to Him. I don't have any right to say, Lord, I'll go there, but I'm not going over there. People tell me quite often, Brother Godfrey, I am afraid to surrender. Because if I surrender, God will send me to Africa. And I always say, if God sends you to Africa, that'd be the best thing ever happened in your life. Why do we think God is mean and He would send us to some place where we would be miserable and not like it? And the greatest joy, bar none, the greatest joy in life is turning it all over to Him. Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And when you do, we'll not be conformed to this world. We'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Don't fear the will of God and our surrender to Him. Lord, I pray today You'd help us to understand that. Lord, so often we think, well, I'll turn this part over to You, but Lord, I've got to hold on to some things here that I love. I pray that every one of us today would say, Dear Lord Jesus, with Your help, I'm not going to hold on to any of that. I'm a sacrifice. I've been slain. I belong to You. Here's my body. However You choose to use it and use me, I give it to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us all to do that. In Jesus' name.